Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM in Pittsfield. My name's Bob Heck, and this is kind of a unique show today because I'm pre-recording from a conference room at a hotel in St. Augustine, Florida. Our guest is out on the West Coast, and our friends back in Pittsfield are recording this program to get on the air for you. But I'm so thrilled and honored to have Glenn Phillips. He's the lead singer of Toad the Wet Sprocket with us, and Glenn's going to be playing at the Iron Horse coming up on Monday, March 2nd. So that's going to be a cool show to check out. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, my pleasure. Happy to be here.
So I've seen you a bunch when you were out with Toad, and I'm going to see you for the first time doing the solo show. Would you say some of the big differences between the two are?
It's quieter. Yeah. I mean, it's one guy with a guitar. I get to be a little more of my nerdy self. So, you know, I always try to play there's a group of Toad songs that I know people want to hear. Mm-hmm. And I play some stuff that Toad doesn't play, and play all the stuff from my solo stuff as well. So it's a different variety of songs, and it's a little more, I mean, Toad is more of a, well, depends on when you saw us, your impression of us, but we're more of a precision act these days. We've really been trying to up our game live, and the solo show, I tend to write, I don't know, 30 or 40 song titles down, and I kind of let the vibe determine where it goes. So this gives me a chance to do something that's kind of looser and more spontaneous and more interactive, so that I can do the Season of Toad where it's very much like trying to nail it. There's still vibe in that too, and that is also fun, but it's a little left brain, right brain for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed the difference. We saw your Treehouse Brewing the last two tours you were there, mm-hmm. and we noticed the most recent one when you were with Katie Tunstall. The light show was much more elaborate, and you know, everything just seemed like it had to be more on point, where you couldn't mm-hmm. really score around as much because everything had to be perfect. It was an awesome show.
Yeah, and we've never been a screwing around too much. We were never a jam band, mm-hmm. and so, but yeah, really trying to make the show, the sound, the tightness of the band, like we've been really trying to up the game with that. We went out with Bare Naked Ladies a few years ago and kind of saw the esprit de corps, like there's the vibe that they have, the warmth of their crew, the culture that they decided to create is so positive and supportive. And we were kind of looking at our past and how we'd treated each other and how and really made a decision together to like make it both more joyful and more professional, and like let's try to be great because we only get to do this one time, and like let's make this as good as we possibly can. So it's been a really wonderful thing to do, you know, I try to make the live shows as good as I can, but they're a little looser.
Yeah, I mean, that's super interesting to hear because I saw that Bare Naked Ladies tour with you and the Gin Blossoms mm-hmm. A few years back. And yeah, their set was really elaborate with the lighting and the videos going on behind them. So it's interesting to hear that you saw that and were like, yeah, maybe we should take it to another level as well.
And it was the backstage. Mm-hmm. It was the culture from top to bottom. And we've always had great crew. We've had great people with us. We haven't always been great to each other. And there was just a like, we're here. Like, let's make this fun. Let's make this good. And I think audiences can feel it. And like, since then, you know, we've been doing better on the road, and I think that's also because people look up and they can tell we're enjoying ourselves more. They can tell how much fun we're having.
So. Yeah, and you guys have gone out and done some cool stuff, you know, within the tours as well. The Driver 8 mm-hmm. redo you guys did, the RBF song. It's absolutely fantastic, and you had Robin
Thank
in there.
You.
And I can't think of the other
Matt guy. Scannell.
That's right, that's Matt Scannell.
Yeah.
Cool video, horizon. Great song. It's terrific. And you're doing more acoustic stuff. You're taking some of your you know, some of Toad's other hits and turning them acoustic. And we hear drips and drabs every so often if we're following you on Facebook or on Twitter. But it looks like you've done a whole album of that.
Yeah, it's, I think, 14 songs. It's called Rings, just came out. And, you know, there's all, you know, All I Want, Walk on the Ocean, Fall Down, those things are there. But there's deep cuts. It's because we're 40 this year. We formed when I was a freshman, you know, summer after my freshman year in high school. And so they were all seniors. They just graduated. We got to know each other. We were in choir and theater together and started playing music. And so, this is like a way of going, it has something from every album we've put out, but it's also a piece of its own. And so it's bringing, instead of, you know, the old stuff sounding old, it's like, it feels like a real record. And we got to really re-examine a lot of the songs and take them apart and kind of reconstruct them. And, you know, so there's some of them sound really different. Some of them sound just kind of different, but we're all really proud of the record.
Now, you hit on something there that I was really interested in. I have a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old. I can't imagine them, like, letting them go on tour with a rock band. You started with Toad when you were 15, and the other guys, 18, 19. You know, 44 to 48 is not a big age gap, but when it's 15 to 19, like, you're sort of in different stages of your life. How did that all come together?
Oh, we have habits that are still hard to shake, you know, I was the kid, and you know, we didn't start touring till I was 18. So we were playing around town, learning how to write, learning how to play, like just, you know, playing locally. And, but yeah, when I was 18, we went on tour for the first time and, you know, we were out for 3 months solid, cause we were young. And so, we, you know, we got thrown into that. But by the time we made the Fear album, we'd already toured for two albums. We'd been on the road a while. We'd kind of gelled as a band. We'd learned a lot and had a lot more. We're still learning. That's half the fun. You know, lifelong learning is where it's at. So
you're playing around town, and I heard a story that your dad basically had to come pick you up from the gigs because, you know, the rest of the guys were enjoying the bar scene. Is that true?
Well, they weren't. I think they could legally, like the place we played, Pat's Grass Shack, they were, I think they weren't 21, but they were 18, so they could hang out in the club when we weren't playing. I had to leave and sit outside in the van and come in when we played and then walk back out in a lot of places. Even the first tour we did, there were a lot of clubs that I was allowed to walk on stage, and I had to go out and sit in the van and wait for the band after. So, yeah, different in that way. But, you know, we were... I also remember that when I finally got my driver's license, that we were kind of making up for lost time. My dad had a big green van and we could put all the gear in it. So I was the guy with the van. Todd had a station wagon, so he was also good for gear. But I had to drive him around for a little bit to make up for the time when I couldn't.
So you're touring around town and you're putting out albums. Then all of a sudden, All I Want becomes a massive hit. What was that moment like? Was there a point where you heard it on the radio and you're like, wow? And then the music video for it. Where I still remember the video where you're on like this turntable type thing spinning around. It was.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how to say this. It's like, it's an interesting combo, right? Cause we're, you know, on the one hand, you know, for everybody else, they didn't know who we were. And all of a sudden we had, you know, this single. For us, we'd been on the road for two albums already. Mm-hmm. You know, Columbia put them out. They were working us like crazy. They had at that time, like college reps locally, record store reps. So we'd go and we'd do in stores. We were going to college radio mostly. We were doing radio all the time. We were, you know, and we did that for the first two because they released, we'd already recorded our first two albums when we signed with them. They released them as is. We put those out. you know, we toured. Our first tour was with Debbie Harry. We'd gone out with B-52s. We'd gone out with Chris Whitley. Like, we had kind of an indie audience that we built up. And when the single hit, we were already 9 months into touring. It was the third or fourth single from Fear. And the record company almost stopped working the album. And Tom Gibson, our product manager, talked them into one more single. So we'd been on the road for 9 months when All I Want started. And, you know, when that took off, we were really happy. But it's not like it came from nowhere instantly, you know. Right. We were happy, though. We were like, my God, we're on the charts. Like, it was really trippy. But we also had that 90s indie ethos where you're on a major label, but you're kind of pretending you're not. And you think of the bands in that are, you know, Counting Crows, not wanting to do Mr. Jones, or like changing up the melody, or, you know, Pearl Jam wouldn't play Alive. And, you know, there was this 90s thing of like, we're not about the single, we're a real band. And all of a sudden there were a lot more people at the shows. And, you know, I mean, with the video, it's like the video is, at that time, they were expensive, right? They were all on film.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would get video treatments from like three or four directors. You would choose the one that seemed the least embarrassing. And then on a day off, you would shoot it. You'd be on tour, and then, you know, somebody put a white shirt on you and say, stand on this, you know, Lazy Susan, and wave your arms around. I'm like, oh, okay. And then, you know, and then that's the video everyone sees. But we weren't really thinking too much about them all. I think we could have been a little more conscious of who we were. I think that video was a little close to losing My Religion. We got some flack.
Yeah, it was
for
a little
that.
Bit.
We got some
oh,
flack.
Oh, really?
For that. But it was also beautiful. It was directed by Hans Nellman, who did the cover art for the Fear album. He was a like photographic artist who did these incredible like multiple exposure kind of montages. And, you know, he directed the video. It was, I think, his first music video. And it was really beautiful. And he had, you know, the vision in his head. But it was kind of, we let Hans do Hans, and he had his thing. And then we went back on tour and it came out. And so it's odd. There was an element of disassociation to the whole thing. Like, I guess then, this is happening. I don't know why. I don't know to whom.
And then, and my memory might be off, but I remember All I Want. And then shortly after that, Walk on the Ocean comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was kind of a risk, wouldn't you would think, because it sounded so different from, first off, All I Want, and basically anything else on the radio at the time.
6-8. I mean, the time signature is not your normal single. It's a cold start with the vocal. It's a cold ending with the vocal.
Mm-hmm.
They did tack on a version where there's a chorus and it fades, but that was a radio edit. It's like accordions and, you know, violins in the chorus, mandolin. It was not a typical rock song for the moment. So we were kind of surprised and took off.
We're here with Glenn Phillips, lead singer of Toad the Wet Sprocket. They've got a new album out. They've taken a lot of their hits and some deep cuts and made an acoustic album called Rings. You can get that now. And Glenn's going to be playing at the Iron Horse coming up Monday, March 2nd. So I'm thrilled to be checking out that show. My wife got that for me as a Christmas gift. So,
oh, sweet.
I'm very excited
I'll
for that.
I'll see you there.
Yeah. Now, before we let you go, you're obviously a songwriter, and, you know, you write songs for yourself and then the band. What is the process of, you know, you write a song and you're like, I'm going to keep this one for myself, for my solo stuff?
It just depends. I mean, I write a lot of stuff that's more quiet and introspective, and I think the solo records are a great place for that stuff. Or stuff that's just weirder. I have a few weird, there's a side project called Remote Tree Children that it's like 18 years old now. That's just much more electronic and beat driven and bizarre and hyper nerdy, like super, super nerdy. And I've done side projects with, there's Mutual Admiration Society and Works Progress Administration with Sean and Sarah Watkins from Nickel Creek. And so I, you know, there's, I like variety. And, you know, when a song's, I don't know, when a song's coming out and it's, you're kind of figuring, trying to think how to say this. You know, sometimes it just finds its place. I mean, when Toad was Toad, every song had to go through the Toad filter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'd write about half the songs and then Todd and I would collaborate on about half the songs. And, you know, Todd wrote the music for half and I'd write lyrics and sometimes add a bridge or something. And the first record, we did the record New Constellation, you know, after we'd broken up, gotten back together, and I'd been doing solo records and solo touring. And so that was the first time where it was like, oh, what is a Toad song? And okay, it was fun to ask that too. And even at the writing process, just to go like, I'm going to be able to depend on the rhythm of the band and the kind of acceleration of that. I'm going to be able to depend on these other two singers who are really strong. So I can have, you know, the part of the Toad thing or these thick harmonies or counter melodies, you know, you think of Something's Always Wrong and it's, or Fall Down. It's all about the weaving of the vocals. And so to write into that and kind of know that I can write differently because it doesn't necessarily have to translate to just me and an acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. So it was cool to ask those questions, you know?
Can I fire off one more question before we let you go?
Yeah.
You may not get a lot of questions about this song, but every time I hear it, it just punches me right in the face just how good it is and how it's, you know, relatable for a lot of people in their situations, The Moment.
Mm-hmm.
Was there an inspiration for that? I mean, it just feels
it's a personal story I will not divulge, but
that's fair.
But I've got a lot of people for whom that has meant a lot. I think it's great to take something that's happened and see if I can distill it into something that's not just about the one situation, that can have enough reference to the truth of what I've gone through, that it can still be, I guess, vague or open enough. Maybe open is a better word than vague. Non-specific in a way where it's specific about the emotional content, it's specific about the spiritual content or the problem at hand and how it feels internally. And it doesn't have to lay out the whole plot, you know? Mm-hmm. And that means that if you're hearing it, and especially with that song about, you know, which is, you know, about showing up for what is in the moment, right? There's a great Buddhist saying that, you know, unhappiness is simply a failure to accept reality. And that thing to go like, okay, stuff is hard. It's not how I would have written it, but this is what is in front of me. And if I can actually face this honestly and bravely, I'm going to get to a better place, even if nothing changes externally. You know, yeah, I got to show up. And that's,
I've had friends going through tough times and I send them this song and I just like listen to the lyrics of it. Don't let anyone make you feel like crap. You know, this mm-hmm. is your moment and do it right. That's my interpretation of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's listen, some of us get to experience over and over. Yep. So, slow learners.
But I very much appreciate the time. I'm really looking forward to seeing you at the Iron Horse on March 2nd. You can just go to the Iron Horse website. They have tickets there if they are still available. And I will see you there.
All right. Thank you so much. Can't wait to come back.
Thanks so much for taking the time. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll have Joe DeCicco coming on about a benefit concert for his Striking Out Cancer charity. And that'll be on the other side of the break here on 89.7 WTBR.
All right, Bob Heck back in the studio here the day before the interview airs. So it's Tuesday right now. Glenn was awesome. Had the opportunity to talk to him last Wednesday. That's when we recorded that. And, you know, his show's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it at the Iron Horse in Northampton coming up on March 2nd. And I did want to play a cut from Rings because I had an opportunity over the weekend to listen to it. And it's just absolutely beautiful. So we're going to play a cut from that going into the break. Joe DeCicco coming up on the other side, and he's going to be talking about the event coming up this Saturday. Striking Out Cancer in the Berkshires. Joey D and the Lugnuts are performing at the Proprietors. It's a fundraiser for that. Looking forward to talk to them on the other side of the break. But right now, this is from, again, Toad the Wet Sprocket's new album, where they just did acoustic versions of a lot of their songs. This is Something's Always Wrong here on 89.7 WTBR.
Tune for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for tuning in. Bob Heck here, and we got some great guests here for the second half of the show. We have Joe DeCicco. We have Sandy and Joe 80 from Joe 80 and the Lugnuts, and you guys are playing Saturday at the Proprietor's Lodge in Pittsfield to help raise money for Striking Out Cancer in the Berkshires. Good to have everybody in the studio. How's everyone doing?
Yeah, great. Great to be
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having us.
So, Joe, obviously this is an extension of the fundraiser for the baseball game that we talked about on the locker room way back when.
Correct, yeah.
Tell us about how this sort of, this is the second or third year doing it?
Doing this?
Yes.
It's our second year.
Okay.
I met these guys over 2 years ago, and personally, I love them. And I end up going up to them, and of course, I went up to Joe first, and he goes, no, you're at the wrong person. I have to see Sandy.
Yeah, he should have known better.
And she goes,
true story.
We love to do it. So ended up doing it, and we ended up becoming good friends. And last year it was great. It really turned out well. Hopefully this year's a lot bigger though. Yeah. And at the end of last year, they came up to me and said, "We're doing this again next year." They didn't ask; they just said, "We're doing it again next year."
That's always good. And the Proprietor's Lodge, a great music venue. And let's talk with Joe and Sandy. Talk to us about the music you play. Now, I've seen you the past couple of years at Norte on Cinco de Mayo, and it's a vibe. I mean, you got the guy with the with the raccoon tail hanging off the guitar. That's you, Joe?
Yeah.
It's terrific. And you're like all over the place. Like I'm sitting down in the restaurant area and all of a sudden I look over, there's you playing the guitar. It's so much fun. Talk about the type of music you play.
I would do a lot of Johnny Cash to a Creedence Clearwater to everything in between, just good up
good up music like Chuck Berry to country western to Garth Brooks, and we do a lot of our own originals too that are you can check out on iHeartRadio. Sorry for the commercial.
We did.
No, that's okay.
We
that's
do a lot when it comes to like the Doors, and then we'll go into AC. Like we have a special guest coming in this weekend. We have a bagpipe player that's going to help us do a little AC/DC.
Oh, no kidding! Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, Tammy Carpenter. She's coming in. She's amazing, so she's excited to do it, and we're really gonna like mix between old and new country and some really interesting rock and roll. So we got a great show coming up for you guys.
And you go see bands doing shows, and some of them they just stand there and play, and you know the music happens, and that's not your show.
No. Not at all.
You never know what you're going to get, that's for sure. This one here has got stuff all up its sleeve all the time. Like, you never know what Joe's going to pull out next. We've got Grandma's calling. We've got, actually, Grandma's showing up this weekend.
Oh.
We have there's somebody in the crowd that's dressing up like Grandma. And then we have the bagpipe lady. And then, you know, I dance the whole time. I can't sit still. And even our bass player and our drummer get into it. We have two amazing musicians that work with us. We have Steve Barmash and Russ Cash Dollar on drums. Steve's on bass. Stellar musicians. We're very glad to have them. And they're crazy, too. So they fit right in.
Yeah, and there's a big difference between the vibe when you know the band is having just as much fun as you are.
Oh, yeah. We have a blast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
I tell bandmates, if you're not having fun anymore, you guys can... You can head out, and I don't want to keep you here. It's all about having a good time, you know, because life is very...
And nobody leaves. Everybody that plays with us loves it. Even our subs are always like, whenever you need us, call,
yeah.
You know, because we do. We and I take care of the boys, too.
I feel honored to have them, the two musicians with us. They're incredible.
Yeah, they're really good. And great people like Joe that ask us to play.
And Joe, how did this all come together? This is the second year doing it. Last year, you saw them and talked about it. And, I mean, this is a completely different animal than organizing the baseball game.
Yeah, but I'm trying to keep it with baseball. That's why it's called the spring training fling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spring training started a couple of days ago.
Absolutely.
So.
I can't wait.
I just figured something in wintertime. Break up things. And, you know, everybody deals with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, why not try it? And last year, it was good. Was I satisfied with the turnout? Yes and no. But like I said, this year we've been pushing it more, and I think we're hopefully my goal. Not I don't have a goal. Sorry, I don't like saying that word.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Reach the stars is hopefully pack that place.
Yeah. That's my goal, too.
Yeah, and I know last year we were sort of late to promote, and then you mm-hmm. got whacked by the Western Mass Championship game
the
street.
Yes.
Which, I mean, a lot of the people that would have come to the show were at that game. So you don't have to worry about that this year.
No.
Because they're playing that tonight up at... in Holyoke.
Tonight.
Yeah, it's tonight. I'm going to be there with PCTV, two games at Holyoke Community College. Cheap plug for the basketball game tonight. Pittsfield girls at 5, Pittsfield boys at 7 for the Western Mass Championships.
Cool.
So check that out tonight on PCTV. So coming up on Saturday, doors open at?
Doors open at 6.
Mm-hmm.
The band will start around 7, maybe a little earlier if they're nice.
I have a feeling we're going to be rocking out later. I don't think we're going to end anytime soon.
Yeah, I was going to say, what time does it go till?
But it goes to 10, but honestly, we're the type of band that if everybody's enjoying it and everybody's into it, we'll just keep going. You know, like we don't, you know, we're not rigid like that. If we're enjoying it and they're enjoying it, we keep rolling.
For a good cause.
It's for a good cause.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know... back earlier in my DJ career, I was the same way, and until the venues started getting really, those are the ones, like, everyone wants to party, and then the venue's like, how much longer are you guys doing this for? We want to get out of here, you
right.
know?
We have some new stuff coming this year, too, for Joe's event. A real good friend of ours, Jen Van Dusen, she went all out and got a ton of baskets donated. So there's going to be raffles this year where last year we didn't have that. We have Proprietor's Lodge this year, which we didn't have last year, you know, and that's a bigger venue, holds more people. They're going to be providing a bar menu,
yes,
which people can purchase. And mm-hmm. It's a tasty menu, to say the least. And, of course, you know, there's a full bar for people to have drinks. So it's going to be a good time, a real good time.
And how often does the band play in the Berkshires? Not very,
not
right?
Not very often. No, we did the Big E back in 24.
Jimmy Peak.
And we played Jimmy Peak, yep. And then occasional house parties and, you know, private events and things like that. But we haven't really broken into a lot of the commercial venues yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is their second time in Pittsfield. Mm-hmm. Last year was their first time.
Where
first
was it last playing. Year?
It was at Polish Folk.
That's right. So you're going to be able to fit a lot more people at the Proprietor's Lodge.
Yeah. And the parking's really good. And, you know, a lot of folks I've spoke to through all of our venues that we've, you know, and all of our shows that we've been doing in the last couple months, we're promoting this. You know, like, if you really like us, you know, it's only $10, you know, $10, you know, and it all goes to cancer. So, you know, your money's going to a good place.
Is this a cash at the door type deal, or can you buy tickets in advance, Joe?
People have bought tickets at the door. At this time, I just ask if you want your ticket, just come to the door. We'll have to, you know, can take it right at the door. Also, if you have 6 to 8 people, we're doing reservation tables. I already have like 9 or 10 already. So we're doing that. And like I said, they will have a pub menu for people if they're interested in eating. So it just, you know, I'm calling now, get loose for June.
Get loose for June.
That way, if you get cramped up, you're sore the next couple of days, guess what? You got 3 months.
That's right.
Yeah, we had Joe DeCicco, Sandy and Joe 80 from the Joe 80 and the Lugnuts. They're playing Saturday at the Proprietor's Lodge. Doors open at 6. Food, raffles, drinks, and everything. So let's step back, Joe and Sandy. How did the band get together? When did this all... How long have you guys been playing?
Oh, 1835 we started.
Yeah, I think so. We've been at it a long time.
Been a musician my whole life, but the Lugnuts actually formed about 5 years ago during the pandemic. And
It's only been
that recent.
Yeah.
I've been in and out of bands since I was a kid, but I mean, this project is, you know, started during the pandemic,
and I don't think it's going anywhere. This is it. Like, the Lugnuts will be here for a long time.
Yeah, no, it feels like you have a ton of momentum right now.
Yeah, we do, and you know.
I'm terrible at names, too, because you named the band, because I was driving down the road one day, and I was like, we got to print the cards, we got to do something, we got to get the, what do we name it? And
He said carburetors, and I was like, no.
White Church, wrong pew.
There's too many, and, you know, too many other bands that sound like that, and then he names something else, and then he goes, well, what do you think of the Lugnuts? And I'm like, that's it. The Lugnuts.
Because we're a baseball team.
Well, we're all crazy, so I figured that the Lugnuts is perfect. You know, it's like I'm a motorhead, and I love anything to do with cars, and this just fit right in. I was like, Lugnuts is it. You know? And then, I don't know, we've just been rocking out, like, just taking on. I've been promoting for the last 3 years. I manage the band. I promote the band. I do all the social media, all that fun jazz. So I push it. I push it a lot. I push my boys a lot. They know it. I treat them good, though, I have to say.
And as a married couple working together, how's that? That dynamic seems really good.
Ask us all the time, how do you do the mom and pop shop thing for 38 years? Because I've been running a painting business for 38 years on my day job.
And we've been together for 33.
And I don't know. They tell us that you guys must be on some kind of medication or something. They would have put each other in a hole by now.
Yep,
so we just keep the Lord first, I guess.
I work
with
him when he paints. He works with me when I was landscaping or I'm like wallpapering or whatever. And then we do the band together. We raise 2 children together. Now we have a granddaughter. And we're always together. We're never not together. It's odd if we're not together. And people just think that's the strangest thing. Like, we haven't killed each other yet.
No, it's weird. I like, some couples can do it, and some just can't. I can't imagine working with my wife, like, closely 24/7. I just couldn't imagine doing it.
Well, we know when I explained it to somebody one day. I said, I know when I'm working with him painting, he's the boss. So I'm the worker bee. And if he's landscaping with me, he's the worker bee. And I think that's the dynamic, is you just kind of know where you stand, you know, with different things. And there's times we butt heads, but it's usually about where the furniture's going in the house. It's not usually anything business related. It's like, I want the couch there, he wants it over here. That's really where we probably have our most arguments.
We have our space, too. I'm going 4 or 5 days a week on a ladder somewhere out on a farm, paint a farm or something.
And then with, if I am working with him, we usually are in separate rooms. Or I'm on one side of the house, he's on the other side of the house. But,
so the big show coming up Saturday, February 21st, the doors open at 6, tickets at the door. Talk about some of the raffles we got.
That's Joe's department.
Oh, man, is it?
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it.
Well, I know one thing, they sent a picture of it. We have a digital pizza oven.
Wait, a digital pizza oven?
Yeah. It's a regular oven, digital. I saw a picture.
Oh, it's a digital oven.
Probably like an infrared or something.
I'm like, well, what is it? Like making digital pizzas? What's going on here? It's like here's a picture of a pizza.
AI pizza.
Hey, they make digital meat now, so you never know.
A lot of bottles, a lot of baskets, like you mentioned. Berkshire Dog has a big basket coming to donate, which is, they're doing great. I want to give an advertisement there. That's my daughter.
Oh, okay. Nice. Oh, that's fun.
That's awesome. Nice.
So they're putting a big basket together. A couple certificates. Top of my head, I can't remember them all. There's more than I wanted. Not wanted, but more than I thought we would have.
Are you doing a 50-50 too? Are you selling 50-50s? No.
So bring your cash, is what you're saying, to participate in some of these great raffles and things happening at the show. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. Joe Ady and the Lugnuts, if you haven't seen them before, they're absolutely fantastic. You absolutely have to check them out. And it's $10. $10 gets you in the door.
$10 gets you in the door and have some fun. Yeah. They're a great band. They'll get if you can't get going, then you have issues with bands, because they'll get you going.
And $10 for to go see a great band nowadays is that's as cheap as it gets. You can't.
I have people say, "Why don't you do 15? Why don't you do 20?" Even with my June event, I'm 10. That's it. It's $10. Period. It's going good with $10, and I'm staying with $10.
Yeah, you very rarely have to make change or do any of that crap.
You know,
and it's for a good cause.
And it's for a great cause.
And people are broke right now. I mean, to be honest, I hear that a lot at all our shows, and you know, especially at different restaurants. Menu-wise, people always complain. Either it's if it's too expensive, I'll hear about it or whatever. But normally, $10 is the route to go. It's $20 for a couple. How could you go wrong?
Right.
Get in. Most people come in as a twosome, so $20 is cheap. You can't get much for $20.
And again, for those people just tuning in, we've got Joe Ady and the Lugnuts, Sandy and Joe. What kind of music can people expect when they go to the show on Saturday night?
Rockabilly, Americana, Motown, country and western.
We're from Rolling Stones to The Doors to Bill Withers over to Johnny Cash.
Our originals.
We have originals that are out there on like iHeart and
Red, White, and Blue. We wrote
Spotify.
For the veterans. It's very popular. We played it at the Joe Bruno Stadio last year. It's for
Tunnels
the veterans.
To Towers. We did an event for them.
Very compassionate song and a tribute to all the veterans who serve our nation today. And
yeah, we like to try
yesterday.
To do stuff for veterans. But the music wise, like, we really have a wide variety. Joey does, like, Joey's the our golden goose. He's the one with the pipes. He's our singer. I mean, Steve and I sing too, but we do mostly backup. Steve does a few of his own tunes, but basically, he goes from Eddie Rabbit over to, Jim Morrison. It's just, he can throw his voice in so many different directions. It's really amazing. And like, you do Tennessee Whiskey, and then we'll turn around and do Alan Jackson, and then off and does AC/DC.
We sing for the Lord too.
Yes, we do. We do a lot of religious songs too. Yeah, we got a little Jelly Roll in there. We do Amazing Grace. Joe wrote a few of them. Yeah, we always try to throw God into everything we do.
Now, talk to me about the raccoon tail.
I got a capo. If you're a musician, you know what a capo is. Great. You work all around the neck with it, with your voice. I kept losing it because they're small. They're about the size of my fingers right there, like that, like the U. So I usually tie a gallon jug on my keys because I lose them too. I tie everything onto everything because I would lose my brain if it wasn't attached. So I attached something to it one night, and it was in the shop, and it just happened to be hanging on the wall. And I just, that's why I didn't lose it. And then I saw some pictures where we were playing it online. I said, that looks pretty cool. Because back in the 50s, everybody was about the raccoon tails. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was big in the 50s. And I got a rockabilly guitar, too, a Gretsch style hollow body. So it kind of went good with the guitar. And I played with a couple folks with the rockabilly stuff years ago. And it's just something different, you know. A lot of guys have the tails or scarves hanging off the bottom of their guitar on the right side, and I just said, well, just let's put it right at front and center here. We'll have the tail flying
around. And it used to have like
around.
A little pull thing on it, and people used to pull it. And
oh,
it had
really?
Like a retractable thing. And then one little kid grabbed it and took off. And then that was the end of that. And now it's tied on.
A tribute to the animal, too. To the raccoons. You know, it was obviously bought somewhere in Lake George or something, but I always think of animals. They kind of calm me down when I'm on stage. If we're playing somewhere at a farm brewery somewhere or something, and I'm always like nervous or tense on stage, and I even see a dog, immediately I see an animal or cows piling behind us, I just calm down immediately. So maybe it's the fur, I just see an animal and I just start calming down, because humans can freak me out sometimes. I mean,
yeah,
they say and do things, and animals just shut up and they want to be petted. So
that's weird, because you did this more for you than to stand out. And you know, for me, when I saw you the first time, and I went to Norte for Cinco de Mayo. I didn't go for you guys.
Okay. Right.
And you guys were playing, and I'm like, who are these people? The guys got, and I mean, obviously, you have a couple of beverages on Cinco de Mayo, and then the next day, who's the guy with the raccoon tail on his thing? And that's how, like, I sort of discovered who you were and learned a lot more about you, and that's why I was really excited to have you on today. So
that's cool.
Thank you so much. Great crowd out there, too. We love that crowd out there.
It's cool you remembered us from that, because most people remember us from him talking on the phone to Grandma. So we have the old retro phone.
Oh, okay.
That he always calls Grandma from Post and Kill, and that's been our kind of like, you know, signature thing for a while now.
Well, see, I didn't notice that. Like I said, I noticed.
Well, that's you're lucky.
I'm hearing the music, and I'm eating my burrito, and all of a sudden, there's a guy with a raccoon tail on his guitar. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, try to be different, you know, and try to stay mostly. The main focus is to stay humble, too, because in the entertainment business, your brain can go crazy and you get carried away with yourself. And like a woman said to me years ago, Joe, you're not Elvis. Calm down.
Yeah.
She's right. You know, you got to just stay humble, you know.
It's all about having fun at the end of the day.
And just, yeah, keeping it real.
Music is fun.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're having fun with it.
Fun. Yeah. I mean, mostly our fan base, it's just so much, they're such fun people. Everybody that comes out, I mean, we almost can name all their names. You know, they reach out online, they reach out on Facebook.
One
you know,
of our biggest fans is right here.
Yeah, one of our biggest fans is sitting next to us. And you know, we just have this beautiful family of fans that we created in the last 6 years. And some of them have become really good friends of ours. And I think that's the beauty of the journey so far with the band, is the people.
Have you guys gotten heckled on stage?
We did pretty good.
Probably. I don't recall.
That's good. You don't remember.
I'm trying to remember.
Yes. We were playing at Hunter Mountain, and the cook came out. It was came from
she
out
was
of
like
the back,
a,
and we had just finished doing Little Sister by Elvis
Presley. Dishwasher
Presley.
Or something.
And usually people are like, that's great. And she came right up to me. I was like, oh, okay, she's going to say that's great. And she went, that was the worst rendition of Elvis Presley I ever heard in my life. You have no right.
Yeah.
You have no right.
You have no right. Yeah.
And they sent it right back in the kitchen again, and I'm just standing there going, It's the end of my career, I guess. I don't know.
No, we went on to play Blue Suede Shoes right okay, after. Right.
I have to. Yeah,
yeah, it was just like,
I have no right. Well, here's another one.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of one of those like, well, okay, we'll have to try this one out instead. Now, Joe does an amazing Elvis. I have to be honest. We do
not
like,
according to that woman.
Not according to her. No, she was very, very staunch in her thoughts and ideas. But we don't get heckled a lot. No. I have to be honest. We people are usually, you know, looking to see what we're going to do next. Mm-hmm. I think they're more intrigued on whatever we're going to say or we're going to do. Or, you know, we're always jumping off stage and dancing. He's going out in the crowd with his guitar. Once he got cordless, that was the end of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we've got the cordless mics and he's got a cordless guitar. Our bass player is cordless, so he follows him out. And we just played a brewery down in Hillsdale, Row Jam, and our drummer grabbed his snare and he started walking around and playing. I was the only one still on stage playing my tambourine going, okay, I guess I'm going in the crowd now. So yeah.
Well, those are naturally cordless, the tambourine.
Yeah. But it was crazy though, because I wasn't expecting Russ to get up and leave. I was like, okay. But you never know what you're going to get. That's for sure.
Good vibes.
We try to keep it simple, but keep it, you know, like, little sparky.
Everybody's got their 40 hours a week and their own stress in life, so on the weekends we try to, even for ourselves, just get the let out and get the good vibes going for people. And that's,
we have venues that ask us to play if they have an event coming up that is going to be fun. Like S&S Brewery, they have, every time they, like, we have Cabin Fever coming up in April, we're doing with them, and they have the Wheel of Fun, and we did it at Christmas. It was so much fun. She called me up and said, would you guys want to do the Wheel of Fun again? I'm like, oh, damn, yeah, that was so much fun. And then we spin it, and people had to do different challenges and stuff, and it was a lot of fun. We're a fun band, so they, if anybody's looking to do something fun, we're always like, sure, we're up for anything, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're a fun band. You know, you guys are into it. You're having a great time. So the audience is going to have a great time as well. And they're probably going to be serenaded at their tables at one point or another throughout the evening at the Provider's Lodge.
That's right. Yeah. Somebody's going to be out there in the crowd at some point. Absolutely.
And Joe, for folks who don't remember, well, we talked about it before, where does this money all go?
Goes to the Jimmy Fund, Dana-Farber Jimmy Fund. I just got an email from the Jimmy Fund, and for the 5 years, this will be our sixth year, but for our 5 years, we've raised over $40,000.
Wow, that's remarkable.
And to me, it's like, it's only $10 we charge, so it's got to be pretty good. Last year was our best year, and I think it was them coming to play, and then our big event in June. So I think it all worked out pretty well. I mean, last year we made over $14,000.
I want to get above that this year.
You know, it's just, it's amazing. I was ready to stop doing it 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
My third year. It just got, you know, what am I doing? I didn't have the, in June, and then people started getting all over my case. You got to advertise. So I said, you know, I'll do it another year. So our third year went pretty good. Our fourth year went, as far as I'm concerned, great. We made over 10,000. And then, like I said, last year was over 14. And then whenever she sent me the email, what we made so far, you know?
How are you not inspired to keep going by that? I mean, it's
was just
remarkable.
Because it's a lot of work, number one. And, of course, I'm Italian, so no, I don't want your help. No, I don't. I'm all right. But it just seemed like the weather, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the third year we had to cancel and schedule the following week. But it ended up turning out good, and I'm glad I didn't. I mean, it went through my head. Do I want to keep doing this? And, you know, then I thought of my wife. This is why I started it.
Right.
2020. So it's going on, and it's going to keep going on.
So make sure you check out the show coming up on Saturday at the Provider's Lodge. Doors open at 6. There's food, raffles, drinks, everything. Joe DeCicco, Joe and Sandy, 80, thank you so much for joining us and talking about this wonderful event. And I hope the place just gets banged out on Saturday.
I'd like to say one thing is, if you never saw this band, come on out.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 1,000%. You're going to have a great time.
You'll be surprised.
You are absolutely going to have a great time. So thank you for tuning in to Morning Drive this morning. Thank you so much for listening. Sean Serra, I believe, is back in the studio tomorrow. Tonight on PCTV 1302, PCTV Select 1 and on our Facebook page, Western Mass Championship between, we got Pittsfield and South Hadley, the girls, for the third straight year. They're playing at 5, and then the Pittsfield boys will take on... SciTech. So that is at 7 o'clock, and we'll have live coverage of that beginning at 4:55 today. Thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time here on Morning Drive.